Greetings. This is James Gilman with Azure Bridge Talk Radio, also simulcasting on SETI Stargate, and we're on Rumble and a few others out there. So we're I always tell people if you don't see us on YouTube, because we do seem to be taken down now and then, just go to Rumble, and everything's on there, and it's working great. Telegram as well. So just look for eSETI Stargate on Rumble and Telegram. The lot going on. We just had some amazing things happen. So I decided to bring some of the guests on that are here at the show and today, and bring them in to talk about some of the things I've seen here. We've had a phenomenal weekend. We're opening up the 8-8 gathering, the Lion's Gate, and we're doing an amazing yoga retreat and shamanic healing retreat, I'll be doing Yigong and doing a 8-8 meditation at 11:11. So join us. Go ahead and meditate at that same time. You can sync up with the ranch here, and a lot of powerful energy going on here. So that's going on. The main thing I wanted to really cover is we had something really amazing. We just had a massive ship fly over just not too long ago. And I think it was in May, wasn't it? May 16th, I think, or something like that. And we just did it again. And so we have some friends on the other side of the river over here. And it was amazing, Brandon and Tiffany. And they saw it, called us up and said, hey, come on over. And I was at another house too. And so we all converge. And I came driving up the driveway, and there's all these people standing in the driveway, pointing and looking up. And I go, it's got to be a ship, you know, nobody. And so I pulled in and got out, and this thing, it hovered for quite some time. I'd say a minimum of 2 hours, probably longer, because we got bored watching it, to be honest with you. It was like, we're out there for 2 hours. We're going, okay, yeah, if you're not going to land or do something, then we're going in. But I'll talk more about it as we go. And I wanted to bring Colleen on so you can slide into the show, hopefully. Colleen has helped us. She's our video person here, and she's put this little clip together, which was amazing. And we struggled and struggled. We are getting hit with so much opposition, even to transfer this. It was like next to impossible. And then we started following the dots and seeing who has been censoring us in the past, and they're all in on it. But it's insane. But we figured out a way to get this up on the list, and thanks to Colleen here, we can show you the shots from several angles, different cameras, and it's going to be amazing. So, let's get your little take on it. What did you think about the ship when you saw it, and subsequently the other ships the following last night, it's ongoing. We had massive ships come over all night last night, power ups, and unfortunately, I didn't get them on the film, because you have like 3 seconds to get these things, and they power up and light the whole sky up. And three came over, and I got them. By the time the camera booted up and I got on them, it was done. You know, so I got the tail end of it moving off, but. Usually I'm ahead of the game, and I kind of feel which one's going to power up, and I have the camera on them, but they faked me out last night, so they got me pretty good. But anyway, everybody got to see them. So you were there on the field during the
power ups and the... I was on my way out to the Palladian Circle, and I could see something in the sky, and then Brett actually called me over, and it was just hovering. Like, we've been asking for day ships for a while now, because we know that there's a lot of scene, and we're so lucky to see them at night. But you get power ups all the time. Like in your lecture, you had a lot of night power ups. But to come over and see that just hovering, and everyone just in awe, like it was a level of protection that I don't think you can really explain in words. But yeah, it was really, really awesome to see something like that, like that close and that. And like you said, it was kind of like morphing into different shapes. And
yeah, I think while you're here, it's probably best that we play this really quick. And it's just a 3-minute segment, and we'll see if we can share it with the guests. We're kind of doing things a little differently here, but I don't think it's going to be a problem. We will get this up so you can see what we're, whoops.
Yeah.
Maybe it is going to be a problem. That's not it.
That's, yeah, we just had it out.
Yeah, you just had it on there.
I can find it real quick. Yep. There we go.
I think we got, there it is.
Let's try this again.
I hope you didn't cut us off Zoom.
There, oh, there we go. There it is.
Yeah, I hit that.
Just kidding.
All right, we got it. You have no idea what we went through to get this. But this is just a shot of our front yard here. This is the mountain. And we have more clips we haven't been able to add. We're going to get even more because there's several cameras that film this object. You can see we're all looking at it through binoculars. We had several cameras on it. And again, it stayed for well over 2 hours over the ranch. And it moved really slowly, and it moved from the west to the east, which is not the star pattern. This is definitely not a star. It's not a planet. It's definitely in, well, we know what it is, but it's definitely a massive light ship that is sitting there. And, you know, we kept pulling back and zooming in on it. And no telling, we don't know how high this is, so we don't know how big it is. But I would imagine it's pretty large. It's a pretty large ship sitting up there. And it looks like Arcturus or Vega in a night sky. If you look at one of the brightest stars in the night sky, that's what about the size of this. I'm sure at nighttime, if we film this at nighttime, it would just be massive. You know, it's probably white out the night vision. But here's a plane for perspective. And this plane, two planes flew right over it, right above it. And so, again, I can zoom back. Now, it's hard to tell. I mean, the plane, it might have been further off in the distance. So, again, we can't tell the size. There probably are ways of calibrating how big this thing is, but if you look really close at it, we need to do some more analysis on it. It went from, it looked like a giant disc, and then it morphed into like a square with two little triangles on top and bottom, and then it morphed back into like a fuzzy square and then back to a dish again. So it kept changing. It kept changing its size and shape and everything. So it was doing some really bizarre things. And we did some tapping in to find out who it was and who they were. And what we got, it was actually six-dimensional beings in a light ship, and they're here for protection. They're the six-dimensional feline beings, and they're healers and protectors. And they're, you know, watching over the rants. I've been feeling a lot of hanky-panky lately, and I'm sure they're kind of making sure things stay on the up and up here, and we don't have any nonsense going on. But, I don't want to mess with this, but shouldn't that go away if you move that over here?
Yeah, that'll go. Thank you.
Huh? Wow, it's not going away. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I don't want to touch it. We're afraid to touch anything here because we're having so much opposition here and getting this information out. But these are the beings. This is what they look like. They're upright panther beings, and they're six-dimensional beings. And they're here at the ranch. Let's see if we can go back. All right. Thank you, Colleen, for all your hard work. And she really busted her butt getting this thing done. So a lot of, we downloaded this thing several times, and right when it got to the end, like 0%, bam, you know, gone. And that happened several times. So it was crazy. But obviously that comes with the territory when you are authentic and you have real footage and things like that, and you're not showing a Tic Tac, you know, fuzzy Tic Tac, and getting all kinds of global elite boys to push your agenda, you know, you're going to have a lot of opposition. Anyway, so I want to bring Maurice. Can you pop in here?
Sure. Hi, James.
All right. And this is Marie, and you've seen her on our show before. You probably, was it last year? And we did she's doing a beautiful yoga retreat, and it's part of her, and Heidi's doing the
shamanic,
yeah, the shamanic part of it. So it's a dual thing going on. Oh, let me move my chair. Oh, chair's hitting the desk. Anyway, so she actually got some really good footage, but we couldn't download. We tried to download it on her camera with a nice zoom, and it showed more of a saucer shape, I think, on yours. But I'd love to get your take. Were you out sky watching last night, or I'm not sure if you were.
No, I wasn't out sky watching last night. I got so fired up and full from the daytime shift. I was like, all right, we definitely got our money's worth with that.
Yeah.
I definitely felt the same as you, in the sense that it was super protected. It was beautiful. It was bright. It was stationary. I do want to toot the yogi horn, because we walked out of a phenomenal yoga class, and we walked out the door, and then there it was, you know. And so James says this all the time, and I want to back it up. And the way to contact is through consciousness, and it's through your heart, and it's through authenticity. And one of the many ways we can break into our consciousness is through our yoga practice and the beautiful teachings of yoga. And so to marry yoga with the ranch here and then with the shamanic healing is, I mean, it's a slam dunk as far as an incredible experience. Yeah. And I think it just, everybody that is here on the ranch has a really incredible vibe, and they're open and they're doing the work. And then we walked out the door, and then boom, there it is. And so, so I definitely feel like the good energy, the good juju, is part of it. So we just need to get more yoga retreats out here and get more yogis.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing, though, I did want to add about the ship and the current environment and some of the talk that's going on right now is this, you know, potential alien invasion that might be happening, and this and that and this and the other, and all the talk around it. And when you have your own experience, whether it's at night or whether it's during the day, this idea of an alien invasion is silly, right? Because we know they're benevolent. We know that they're working with us, and we know, you know, a lot more than a potential alien invasion. And so anyway, I just wanted to definitely say that I'm not buying the alien invasion story, and you can get contact with consciousness, your heart, and you know, coming out here to visit the ranch here is definitely powerful here. So
great. Awesome. we're trying to orchestrate things here we're going to do questions and answers here later. And I want to ask you a couple more things, but she's got some amazing video. I mean, you've been having all kinds of contacts at your place, and is your video up on your site?
It's actually, I have a little YouTube video YouTube channel, which is Marie Thorne Thompson. And it was just my journey and beginning to make contact. And I remember coming up here because I was having all this contact at home. And you said to me, why don't you start taking photos? And I was like, that's a great idea. I love photography. So then I started videoing and taking photos, and I mean, getting some photos that blew me out of, and I would always send them to you and be like, is this real? Is this happening? And he'd say, yay, nay, yay, nay. And so that was nice to bounce off. But you just start running with it, and they want to play.
Oh yeah.
So
Well, it's obvious you have a connection because they follow you and you've been getting some great footage. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, I've gone through lectures and things and, you know, I did yoga for like 12 years and that was when I had a back, you know, before I had a serious back injury, but, used to do bhakti yoga and I studied with lamas and the yogis and all that. So, you know, I took a spiritual approach to it and that's why I'm bringing this up. And because of the spiritual approach and all the process-oriented therapy and raising frequencies and years and years and years of doing this, studying different elders, doing ceremonies, everything. And, you know, eventually, you know, I took an intense spiritual path and two near-death experiences. And that's what opened the door for me for contact. And then the more I studied this, the more I realized I ran into some yogis and I kind of call them drugstore yogis. They're usually young guys that are all pumped up you know, they don't know the ancient books and they haven't read the ancient and like Yukteswar and Yogananda and those guys. And even before that, but when you look at all the old Vedic scriptures, everything goes back to the stars. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to the stars. Yigong, we trace Yigong and the Qigongs and everything. And they go from Tibet to China to Egypt. And then the next thing you know, the Egypt was the remnants of Atlantis and Lemuria. So everything goes back to the stars. And if you read the ancient stories on how they learn these practices, it goes back to gods and demigods that came from the stars, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, when you really do your research, you're going to find out it's all connected. And, I had an experience down in Mexico once and it was quite interesting because there was a group down there and it was a big yoga retreat and I was showing the footage and there were some wonderful people. There are doctors there and psychologists and all these people. And this one yogi guy goes, well, what do UFOs have to do with yoga? You know, like this real smug and everything. And then he went with his little entourage and they sat down to eat right next to where I was doing the event. And so I dropped a couple bombs on him, you know, and his whole group started leaning over and looking. And they got up and joined us, much to his chagrin. He wasn't happy about that. But it all goes back to the stars. We go back to the stars. Earth's been colonized several times from the stars. And we need to kind of grow up and get over that one. But anyway, on the path to enlightenment, whether you're doing yoga or Yigong or whatever you're practicing, you're going to have contact. But as a little disclaimer here, if you're on a spiritual path and you're focusing on love and joy and bliss with the intent of connecting with those type of beings, that's what you're going to experience. But there is an old saying in yoga, the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. So mm-hmm. we do have to learn to create sacred space, keep that space clear, and be sure who we invite into that space. Because just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And that's a serious problem right now. There's a lot of people that are opening doors to malevolent ones, and you know, by their fruits you'll know them. It's sad, but what's happened is people are getting connected and actually possessed in the worst case scenarios, and they're working with beings they shouldn't be working with. And when you talk to these beings that people are working with that they think are their guides and their lovers and their friends, and they're usually part of the Gray Alliance if you're working with the low level ones or the reptilians. And when you really talk one-on-one with these beings, they see us as pets, something they can do with whatever they want. And we make agreements with them in air, and we have to sever those agreements and those connections. So, you know, I've seen it firsthand. I've seen the conversations with people who have had negative experiences. And when they went into regressions and things like that, you just go, oh, my God. You know, then the being comes through them. You're talking one-on-one with the being, and they are so smug and so arrogant. And they do not see us as equals. And so we really need to work with the masters, the higher dimensional beings, and the ones that are loving partners, you might say, and hang out with them much more. But you're going to see a lot of that coming up right now. You're going to see who's who in each field. And every field you're going to see, doesn't matter politics, business, you know, UFO community, spiritual community, everything's going to come up and we're going to see who's who and what their true agendas are. So be ready for it. And the main key is that we need to take personal responsibility for making our own personal connection with Creator and Source, whatever name you want to give it, and having our own contact. And a little tidbit, you don't have to pay $7,000 to talk to an ET, because all you got to do is look in a mirror, because you have ET genetics, you know. So anyway, that being said, I want to thank you for
coming on
the show, and awesome workshop. And what's the best way people can get a hold of you? I know you have online classes.
I do. I have online classes through Yoga Soup down in Santa Barbara. But on my website, MarieThornThompson.com. Like, what is it? MarieThornThompson.com. It has my schedule for yoga, and it has also my my UFO video website as well. So,
nice. Awesome.
But it's always a pleasure to be up here, and it's means so much to me. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. Amazing class, folks. It's just, the energy is so intense and powerful. And when we started the class, it was really good, because we did a clearing and created sacred space, and guess who came in to help out with the clearing? Baba G. You know, we knew that was going to happen anyway, but very, very connected. Who have we got next? I want to bring Brett on the show here. Brett is an awesome volunteer here. He's gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations since he's been here. He's seen some crazy things, both human and non-human. You know? But just to get, you know, your take on, I know you were you're both there at the event with the, we'll talk about that first, that big mothership thing that flew over. You know, I can't even say it was a ship. It looked like a giant Merkaba or something.
Yeah, it was weird how it was changing. It was white, and then it was like circle and then square. I watched it through the binoculars when it went below the trees line, and it.
Yeah.
At that time, it was kind of a saucer going down at an angle. It was kind of interesting.
About what time was that? Like, had to be 7 or something.
Yeah,
or?
Around there. I can't remember the exact time.
Yeah,
because I know. Focused on enjoying the moment.
yeah. So it started at 4:30 and went to somewhere around 7.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, no weather balloon is going to stick around for that long. And it didn't act like anything that we can explain, you know, there. And, you know, the wind, the clouds were going by it and passing by it. And
you can see the needles of the tree moving. The
trees
from the
moving
wind.
And everything. So I know upper atmosphere has different, it could have been so big it wasn't even in our atmosphere. We don't know. We don't know how big this thing was, but it was quite interesting. But
it was pretty close, a lot closer than anything.
It seemed like, yeah, it seemed pretty close and low. The other thing was last night, you saw all the power ups.
Oh yeah,
out there.
Yeah, there were some good power ups last night. Over the year, I've been helping out. I've seen hundreds and. Like the power ups, like last night, are not every week. They're like every other week almost.
Yeah, it was really. They just one kept coming in after another and powering up, and they came from behind the house. And so, I always turn my chair sideways, and everybody goes, "Why do you turn your chair sideways?" Because they always come from the south, the big ones, and power up. And so, I didn't do that this time. I was kind of lazy. And so by the time they powered up, they're right over us and I couldn't get the camera. I talked about that. I got the camera on them and it's done by the time the camera booted up. So one of these days we'll get one of these fisheye things and just film the whole sky 24/7. And we'll see everything. But anyway, I mean, you've had all kinds of experiences. You've seen Bigfoot here. You've had some Bigfoot experiences.
Well, I've seen his print, but I haven't seen him yet. But just a few weeks ago, there was a footprint by the fireplace, and it was like that big and like that wide. It was a huge footprint.
I got a picture of him right on the other side of the fire pit, and there's plums there, and he was standing. So I had a reference point. Yeah, he was standing there, and no neck, you know, just. And that was the little one, and I'd say he was 7 feet tall, you know, but he was, That was the younger one.
I've heard stories of people seeing all four of them up here.
Yeah, there's a mother and she has a daughter, a small little daughter. Really fine, small little Bigfoot. It's kind of funny. And then we have Delaki, which is kind of a juvenile. Yeah. And he pays regular visits. And there's a couple. There's a very old one that is gray.
The gray-haired one, yeah.
Gray-haired one. And then he has two apprentices that travel with him.
All right.
And they're younger. And I think they're like some kind of apprentice. He's teaching them things and stuff like that.
Nice.
But, it's pretty busy up here. And people want you do an episode and film them and catch them on video and all this stuff. And I said, I want to leave them alone. You know, they're another nation. They don't want to be bothered. You know, that took us a long time to get a relationship going with them.
And Sunmo's message to humanity, they said that they don't like the picture taken because so many people are in fear and they can feel people's fear.
Yeah. 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 So it's, you know, it's the attitude you go. They have an old saying here. They said, if you go out to find Bigfoot, you'll never find him. You know, but if Bigfoot wants to, it'll find you.
Yeah.
And you have to go out there with an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, just like working with the ETs. Be patient, bring gifts, and that's the way it has to be done, because you'll never find them. If they don't want to be seen, they're not going to be seen. And they can blip in and out. I'm seeing them phase out right in front of me. So they choose who sees them.
Yeah, I heard they walked right through the field and then just vanished.
Just vanished, right? You go, where did they go, you know?
Yeah.
There's nowhere they could hide. And I saw one running back and forth between this little tree. It was the young, I think it was the lock, and he was running back and forth between the tree. And so I walk around this side and I go, okay, there's no way he can. He has to run across this whole field to get away from me. And he's going to have to run towards me and across the field. And I'm watching the whole time as I'm walking, and I get there and there's nobody there. He's gone. You know, so.
What radio show guy did he run up on?
Oh, Ground Zero.
Art Bell or?
No. Clyde Lewis.
Clyde Lewis. Okay.
Yeah. And freaked him out. It ran right up to him and skidded and stopped.
Yeah.
And it just blew his mind, and then it ran off, and I saw it.
It ran through the orchard?
Yeah, I saw it run through the orchard, and all the trees are interwoven there, and it went through the trees, and the branches didn't move, and I go, how in the hell did it do that? You know, and it just vanished. You know,
I love that story.
Yeah, it blew his mind. He didn't want to talk about it. We got the footprints, and we had all the footprints and everything, so he went ahead and went public with it. Nice. But there's been a lot of people. Peter O'Toole's son was here, and he saw him, and he was with another girl and saw a really big one. And there's all kinds of kids that have seen him here. The kids, they show up to a lot with the kids because they're innocent. And you know, but we never had any negative problem whatsoever with them.
The ones up here are all benevolent, interdimensional.
Yeah, they're very respectful. They ask, you know, even if they, before they take apples, they'll ask, you know, if we can have some apples. But very telepathic and extremely, I think they're extremely advanced naturally.
Yeah.
Like a shaman. Some shamans can appear and disappear and things like that.
They're so, like fourth or fifth dimensional.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can shape shift and do things like that. So it's
I love the fact that you create sacred space. I mean, the land has its own sacredness with the ley lines and Mount Adams, and then with all the sacred space work that you've done with your
healing. Yeah.
Clearing techniques has really created a space where you get the higher dimensional beings. And
I love that saying, you know, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. You know, so you raise your own consciousness and then you can connect to higher consciousness. But
because my own spiritual experiences, I built my own clearing technique based on biblical and demonic warfare kind of stuff. And then I found you and borrowed the healing technique, which doesn't, you know, that never crossed my mind from a biblical study. But the fact that we can heal these entities and then ask higher dimensional beings, Christ beings, to take them to the perfect place.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing because like my clearing technique I developed worked, but yours brings an added peace and it lasts longer than the biblical stuff that I was using.
And also, when you cast something out, it's just going to go somewhere
else.
So, you need to isolate it and take it wherever it needs to go, you know. So,
it's one of the reasons I was drawn to yours, because it made sense, because they kept coming back, and I'm like, ah, go away. And it, with the healing, and they seem to stay away longer.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm grateful for all that you're doing. And
thank you for all your work and everything you're doing here. You're always dependable, and we always, when you get here, I go, oh, got some hands, hands on to help get things done.
I'm glad to help.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You know, we have a special guest here. I wanted to bring him on, and a friend of mine got this here. And we're getting way too serious here, so.
Here's my next tweet. I call it the tweet. Trademark.
So anyway, it was a little gift given to me. We weren't going to give the Farting Hippo Award, so I thought I'd put that in there. But I really do think things are going to be changing very fast in the very near future, quicker than you can imagine. But I do see us getting our country back and getting our rights back. And, you know, people are sending me all these things, and I don't want to read this on the air. But the bottom line is that we really need to realize we are a republic, and we have a constitution, and that's the supreme law of the land. And it's only as good as we step into it and enforce it and just say no to all this other nonsense. But I would really read it. We'll put it out in the newsletter, the same information. And I put it out and you know, our newsletter is back up. So be sure and go and check out the newsletter and sign up on the site on eSETI.org for the newsletter. But, you know, the bottom line is there's longstanding Supreme Court rulings that say these mandates and all these decrees and all these things that they're doing that are violating your right to commerce, your right to do business, your right to travel, your right. All of these things are inalienable rights, period. And they're only as good as if you stand up for them. So I think that's all going to collapse, and we're going to get our republic restored and go back to constitutional law. And I don't think that's too far away from happening. But this whole other mess we're involved in right now is just falling flat on its face. I like this. Good one. Yeah. So anyway, not too much longer, I think. And I tell people, just keep your cool. You know, you don't need to. You don't need to arm up and go march here and march there. Just give this a little more time. And if it doesn't sort itself out, I'll be the first to join you, you know. So anyway, we're trying to do this as peaceful and legal as possible and get things moving back to where they should be. But this is a global event. There's a lot of moving parts, and we need to get all the parts together and in order, and then it's going to come together. So I don't want to get kicked off of the show kicked off. So I'm not going to talk too much more about that. But anyway, the feeling I get is that you know, the bubble's about ready to pop, you know, that everything's ripe and everything's in place. And so hang in there and keep the faith. Have we got anybody? Yeah, oh, Tristan. Here we go. Tristan. We're going to bring Tristan on the show. And what brought you to eSETI?
My grandmother was coming out here. She invited me, so I came with her, and I've been enjoying it the entire time I've been here.
So what would say was your most exciting thing that you've seen so far?
The first night we were here, and I went to Skywatch. There was a craft that like shot like past the mountain. It was really cool.
I think I might have filmed that one. I'm not sure. I did get that one. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and look at the footage. But were you out for during the power ups? You saw all the power ups.
Oh no, I went to sleep before that. Oh, yeah, I fell asleep on the bench.
Oh yeah, he's been working really hard here, but really enjoying the energy. But how about, so you were out for the other daytime ship as well?
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, how would you explain that? I mean, with conventional means, it's like unexplainable.
Yeah. Other than there is no way to explain it. You just had to be there.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. So when you go home and tell your friends, what are you going to say? Or do you think they'll believe you?
Probably not. Most of my friends hardly believe half the things I say that are true. So, yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No.
I'll give you a little secret. This is my line. I always say, thank you for establishing your ignorance and your character. Have a nice day.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And then duck. No, I'm just yeah, there's so much going on. And Tristan's been an awesome help here. He's like really jumped in and helped out. And during this event and everything, it's amazing. And I know he's had a lot of experiences. And I'm sure there's more out there tonight and tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of activity. It's just never ending. But I know after we do the show and then we do the healing circle up above and then we take it out to the field for Skywatch, there's so much energy. And with these big ships flying over right now, it's electric. You can feel it in the air. And you're just okay, what's next? You know, maybe we'll have Bigfoot visit us tonight. Who knows?
That'd be wild. Just see him, like, come up and sit, like, in one of the chairs at Skywatch. And just imagine that. That'd be awesome.
You know, we do have a trickster here, a younger one, that breaks all the rules. And so I wouldn't be surprised. Put that out there. You know, just sit and meditate and say, hey, can you come sit in the chair? And
yeah.
Put an apple out, a little peanut butter sandwich for him or something. And see what happens, you know, because they'll get it. People go and put apples out for them. I go, but you have to tell them. You have to tell them you put the apple out. Yeah. So when you go out and put the apple out, you put the image of the apple and you send it to them and say, hey, we got a nice organic apple. Make sure they're organic because they'll throw the other ones away.
Don't blame them. They're disgusting with all those pesticides.
Yeah, yeah. So, and take them out and put your intent out and see what happens. You never know. And be ready, you know, because, it's shocking when they do appear. You know, be sure you're ready. But, you know, when you keep your heart open and you stay out of fear and send them love and don't go at them with any aggression, they pick that up right away.
Yeah.
And they'll be gently, you know, they'll show a little bit at a time. And then pretty soon you can be playing basketball with them out there.
That'd be crazy.
That's my dream. My dream is the Bigfoot basketball team here.
Oh, that would be, wow.
All I got to do is dribble out to middle court. It's over.
Just give it to one of them. Reaches over, puts it in the basket.
They just grab the basket. And put it down, you know? Snap it in half, probably. It's all. But anyway,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And thanks for all. You've been awesome since you've been here. And you have really good vibes. Everybody loves you. And keep up the great work.
Try my best.
All right. You're doing a good job. All right, I guess we got anybody else? It's hard to see because I got a big light in front of me. I think that's it. Are you ready for questions?
Just about.
Have you got time? So my other lovely assistant, Kathy, is here, and we're going to do any question and answer. And I got to reset this thing. Boy, it's really strange. Can you redo that light? Can you change that light because it's like splitting the screen? Take it back or something a little bit. A little studio work here. Will it move back? That's all right. Oops. Oh yeah, here's our new studio. Yeah, here's a picture of our new studio, and it's still a work in process. So I think that looks good. And it's amazing. I love this studio now because I can come down here and I don't hear the buffalo stampeding above. And it's all soundproof and it's great. Well, there's still, we'll figure this out later. But anyway, so we're going to go into the question, any question and answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll make something up. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you if I don't know the answer. You know, I don't have any problem with that. Maybe you guys can give me the answer in the chat. So I think it's this light down here, but we'll fix it later. It's work. It's good enough. Okay. So what's the first question?
The first one was asked a few different times.
Okay.
Who does the opening music for the show?
Oh, that's Indian in the Machine, and I'm brain farting right now. His name. He's a German guy. But anyway, just send us a text and we'll find out. Okay. But yeah, Indian in the Machine is what it's called.
All right. How can we get off-worlders to land and hang out?
Yeah, getting off-worlders to land and hang out. That's I'll tell you a little story. True story. No, I'm just kidding. There we go. True story. When I first started having contact, I was not looking for ETs. I was on an extreme spiritual journey. I had a near-death experience. I was blown wide open. I was studying with yogis and lamas. I talked about that. And I was doing an all-day meditation, and they popped in, and they started talking to me. And I was going, who's this? You know, and they told me who they were. And it was Blaji, and she was a Pleiadian. And she's Blaji is actually a seventh-dimensional Pleiadian, but she can drop her energies down to the fifth and work with people if she wants. And I don't think they like to go past the fifth because then you get all the craziness in the 4D stuff. So, but she was talking to me and she said, we're working mainly through the fifth and sixth dimension. And I go, awesome, you know. And so I thought I was talking to this beautiful ascended master, which I was, but she was actually a Pleiadian. And they have been here ever since and been working with us. In the beginning, they would be walking right alongside me when I was doing intention walks. I was beamed up on several ships, multi-dimensional ships, different types of ships, mother ships, smaller ships, scout ships. So I had all kinds of experiences in the beginning, but when they said after I go public that they couldn't do that anymore. So that was the problem. And so after I went public with it, because they had a message and their message was just like all the other masters on the planet, you know, get your crap together, basically, you know, be kind to each other, be kind to the planet, raise your consciousness, you know, be in service. It was the same message any master teacher that has come to the earth. And so everybody wants this big, supercharged, crazy message. And the messages are usually simple and they're all about being in service and maintaining a frequency and being loving and kind to each other and the planet. Basically, that was it. But I think as we raise in consciousness, as the veils come down and get thinner and thinner and thinner, we're going to notice that they've always been right alongside of us, and we're going to start seeing them more and more. The more you put your intention on that for that to happen, the more it's going to happen. I think when this other force collapses, which it will, the cabal and the Gray Alliance and the reptilians, they're 90% gone right now. When that's done, they can walk more freely and safely here on the planet and work with this. So this other group has to collapse and run its course, which it is. And when that's done, it falls into a Native American prophecy where when the beast consumes itself and collapses, then we have 1,000 years of peace and we're rejoin the star nations. And that's basically where we're going. So just keep working on it. Keep raising your frequency. Set your intent. You know, I think it's really important to get out in nature and get in places that are high frequency places where you can have contact so they don't have to deal with all the other psychic turbulence and things like that. But it's going to happen. It's our destiny. We are going to rejoin the rest of the universe in peace, and the tyranny is coming to an end, and it's going to start coming to an end very quickly. It's going to fall hard and fast.
So what are your thoughts about reptilians being responsible for the opioid and drug addiction crisis?
Yeah, reptilians, they've created a real mess down here on many different levels. And they've been around that we know of for 400,000 years, maybe more. But it goes back to Marduk making a pact with them for total dominance over his own people. And same thing is playing out right now. The same type of people want total dominance. They want an off switch. I'm trying not to get taken off the air. They want total domination, total control. They want us all as indentured servants. And they definitely do not want us to recognize our own personal God connection or the God within. So that same group has been at play throughout history, and they're being taken out now. So definitely they're the child trafficking. They're part of that. They're part of the drug trafficking. They're part of all that. They're, you know, anything that is going to suppress or harm humanity, they're involved in, basically.
I think the Grays are involved in that also.
Yeah, Grays are involved. The Gray Alliance is involved in that. And they've been doing a lot of experimentation on people without their violating their free will and things like that. And they'll say, well, we have an agreement. You know, there wasn't full disclosure in that agreement. You know, you didn't know you're going to be experimented on, your family and all these other things were going to happen. So, and again, they don't look on us with love and compassion and see the God within us. They see us more as pets and something to experiment on and something to control and dominate, you know, and that's coming to an end.
Are the panther beings related to the panthers on Earth?
You know, I really do. I'll tell you, this is another story that just happened here. Those beings that flew over that ship was a six-dimensional ship, and these panther beings were on that ship. Well, we had all these cats here at the ranch, and they scattered, and we haven't seen them for a long time. We've seen just maybe one or two, and we thought the coyotes got them or something happened. They just disappeared. And when that ship came over, they all returned, and they're all, and we thought they'd been taken, and they're all back now and hanging out. So it's kind of interesting that it's all connected. The feline energy is connected. There's in the fifth dimension, there's human feline beings there. They call them cat beings, or some people call them the lion beings, they call them Narissa. And, I don't know, brain farting, but Narsringa, they call them. And they're humanoid cat feline beings, and they're fifth dimensional beings, and they're explorers and protectors, and they're beautiful beings. And the panther beings are in the sixth dimension. They're upright. They're 12 to 14 feet tall. And then the seventh dimension, you've got the protectors, the gods, and those are the lion beings, and they're very, very powerful. They're very funny too. They have a great sense of humor. They have to, because they're very intimidating, but the males are like 17 feet tall. So, and you know, I asked them, I said, what do you do with these reptilians? They said, we just throw them down and rub their bellies. They can't do anything. They're 17 feet tall. I mean, they're not a problem. So, and it's good to know that we have that kind of protection. We have access to that. So, we have to call it in. We have to initiate it. We have to stop being a victim. We have to find the lion within us. And that's what they're all about.
Can you talk more about the Bigfoot here and what other kind of Bigfoots are out in the world? And are some of them dangerous?
That's the thing, that when you go into the old Native American legends, you'll find out that there's different stories, and there's different stories of Bigfoot that are predators, and they're kind of bad news, and they were, you know, bagging their kids and things like that, and they had to go to war with them, and some of them say that the benevolent Bigfoot actually helped them, and to track these things down and deal with them. But and then you go into a lot of the Native American lore, and they talk about who Bigfoot is, and I really like their description of it. And it's a very spiritual experience, and they're part of the nature kingdom, and they're a whole different nation, and very wise beings. And you know, if you go out there with respect and with gifts and things like that, that's, they're going to treat you accordingly. But if you go out there trying to hunt them or track them or get famous because you get a picture or whatever, you know, you might have a negative experience, especially if you draw a weapon on them or something, you're going to have a real bad experience. But they're pretty good rock throwers, you know, big rocks. So anyway, there's different types of Bigfoot, and I think they will react to you accordingly to your consciousness. But be respectful, and if one is stomping and breaking sticks and things, don't run up and try to get a picture. He's telling you to get out of there. That's their ground. That's their land, you know, and you know, give an offering and get the hell out of there, basically. I had that happen once, and I left, you know, a couple apples and a sandwich and a banana and did a prayer and meditated and apologized, you know, because I didn't know I was going into their territory. And things are fine now. He's like, you know, I'm not going to go back because they made it really clear, you know, that that's their space. And I'm not going to tell other people where it is either because they'll go out and do a stupid movie on it or something.
Oh, which of your books is best to read first?
I'd say Reunion with Source is probably... it's probably the foundation. It's really, I think I love that book because it's a really strong foundation. And then Becoming Gods is the next one, and then The Ultimate Soul Journey, and then the Anunnaki Return talks about my experience with these beautiful six-dimensional beings that were appearing, and they were the ancient Anunnaki, which actually are Lyrian. They're ancient Lyrians. And
that was my favorite one.
Yeah. And beautiful beings. I mean, everybody's saying the Anunnaki are reptilians and they're this and they're that. No, their heads are different. They do have a little bit of a cone head, you know, and they're very beautiful beings. And they're here to right a wrong and to undo some of the old stuff that their ancestors were involved in, the ones that fell. And that's, if you do history, you'll find out that, you know, there were always benevolent ones here, and then there was ones that were self-serving here, and that's why gods is always plural, and the demigods were their offspring, you know, human Lyrian offspring or human Pleiadian offspring or whatever, you know. So it's all tied together. That'd be a show in itself, going down all the different groups and who they are and how they interacted. But Atlantis and Lemuria were Pleiadian colonies. And so there was colonies before that, going back 3 million years or plus. And so the Earth is much older than people think. It's not 4 billion years old. It's 7.5 billion years old. And you can't carbon date a lot of it because at one time the sun never hit the Earth. It had a constant cloud cover. So the carbon dating isn't going to give you an accurate reading on the dates of things. You know, so when you get into really ancient stuff, it's going to give you a false reading.
That is a whole show on its own.
Yeah.
Can Bigfoot smile or swim?
Of course, smile and swim at the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, they walk right up rivers and walk through rivers and swim, and we've gone up to lakes and we've seen their tracks right through the middle of the lake. You know, and yeah, I'm sure swimming's not a problem. I mean, they're so adept. They're probably one of the best rock climbers you're ever going to see, and swimmers and everything. They're in nature. They're pretty, you know, they just scoot right up a cliff, you know, and it's not a problem for them.
Do you physically see the masters? I don't know. Or do you see them more or feel them more?
Both. I see them and feel them. I feel them first. I feel a presence, and then if I close my eyes and sit there, all of a sudden they're there, their face is right there. And but mainly feeling. See, because everybody has, some people are clairsentient. That means you feel energies, you feel what's happening around you. Other people are clairvoyant. They see things. They see different beings and things like that. And then other people are clairaudient. They hear voices and hear information. And clairvoyant, people see different things. And so everybody's different. Everybody has different gifts, you might say. And some have multiple gifts and some only have one. And some people are antennas and they get all kinds of information. Some people have batteries. They're there to hold a frequency. So everybody's different, and just honor your gifts, you know, and don't worry about having somebody else's gift, you know, because it's a blessing and a curse. Antennas just get beat up psychically all the time. They have a hard time being here, and the batteries are going, they're sitting there going, doo-doo-doo, you know, just holding space, you know, so it's really different for everyone.
Can the off-worlders please start to intervene to help us more if we ask them?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we're going to do this weekend. And it's so important for us to initiate contact, to initiate help, to ask for help. We are getting a lot of help. Some things are beyond us. We need help to deal with. There's unseen negative influences that they can deal with that we're not equipped to deal with. And that's happening on a huge scale right now. We do definitely need to, and you know, if you're a Christian or you're Buddhist or whatever, you know, call on Buddha and ask for help. Call on Christians, you know, call on Jesus, call on Mary, call on Babaji or whoever you feel comfortable with. You know, the divine feminine energies especially are coming in really strong right now. And whatever you feel connected to or good about, you know, we need to ask. And the more people that ask, the more help we're going to get. And they've heard. I mean, they hear our prayers and they're coming, both spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders coming, as well as the masters and saints and sages and all.
I think it's important that we ask, too.
It's so important that we ask, for help, you know.
What are your thoughts on the EBS blackout on the 11th?
The EBS, the emergency broadcast system?
Yes.
On the 11th, huh?
That's the question that we have got.
You know, I haven't looked into that, but I know it's coming. It's coming really soon, too. And I would suspect that that it's not too far around the corner. A lot of people are saying not till October. There's no way it's going to last that long. I don't see that. See things as a series, not time, a series of events. If this happens, this is going to happen. If this happens, this is going to happen. And the events have happened right now. They're getting ready for just full-on disclosure and of what went down with the elections and everything else. Everything, you know, is going to come out. The child trafficking, the adrenochrome, the drug trafficking, the corruption, all that stuff is going to surface here. And it already is surfacing for those with ears to hear, but some people are still plugged into CNN and you know, the lamestream media Ascension's not for everyone, you know, so.
Feels like there's so much happening every day.
Yeah. They say the future's not for everyone. You know, the future's for those who will grab it, you know, and not go with the status quo because it's collapsing.
Are the cabal negative starseeds or reptilians?
You know, we're running into at the end of the hour here, unfortunately, but I can't answer that. That has to be the last one. But what you have is the cabal have through ritual and through ceremony and satanic Luciferian ritual and sacrifice and all that crap. They've sold their souls, a lot of them. They've gotten involved in that stuff. And there's a wedge between them and their soul, and the other entities are running them. And some are full-blown reptilian shape-shifting. Some are working with grays and the gray alliance and things. Some are working with demonic type energies, and they've basically sold their soul. They're not functional anymore. But what's going on right now is their overlords are being kicked out and cleaned up. And so now they're totally dysfunctional. They don't know how to function without their overlords. And you're going to see them just collapse and make stupid decisions and give themselves away. And it's going to be there for anybody that wants to see it, you know, and they're losing it and their hearts are constricted. And so what happens? Heart attack, you know, and karma is being accelerated, you know, and truth is being accelerated. Everything is being accelerated. And so they're imploding and they're on the way out and there's nowhere for them to go. You know, wherever you go, there you are, you know, then their karma is catching up and everything's being accelerated. But on that note, we have to end the show. We're out of time, unfortunately. So just keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and, you know, hold the line and be patient and just focus on, you know, creationary mind, create the world you want to be in and live in. And don't put up with all this crazy enslaving nonsense. That's all I can say is it's time for us to rise up and say no. So on that note, have a great evening, folks. We got to sign off. We're out of time. And I can't thank you enough for listening and pass it on to your friends. And hopefully this one will stay up on YouTube. Have a great evening. Good night.